Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Cindy Gross, your warrior and host of Cindy's Corners Radio Show, bringing you timely topics in an informative and entertaining way. Tonight, we're going to be talking about predictions for 2017, all kinds of predictions. And I would like to give you my prediction of what to look for in politics 2017. My own political prediction is a very important one. It's very close to my heart. My prediction is going to be about the man to watch in Washington during 2017. I know you're all thinking I'm talking about Donald Trump, but that's too obvious because, believe me, everyone from the left and the right are going to be watching Donald Trump's every move with a larger microscope than has ever been used before. So let me rephrase my prediction. The second most watched Washington elected official, I believe that person is going to be Congressman Lee Zeldin. That's right, you heard it here. Congressman Lee Zeldin from New York's 1st Congressional District in the House of Representatives, which comes from Suffolk County, New York. Many of you know that area as a celebrity hangout of the Hamptons and its surrounding neighborhoods. Why Congressman Lee Zeldin, you asked? I'm going to tell you. Congressman Lee Zeldin was an early Donald Trump supporter and a veteran. He served in the U.S. Army and currently sits on the Veterans Affairs Committee. He works tirelessly on issues like disability assistance, memorial affairs, and economic opportunities for veterans and their families. Congressman Lee Zeldin is the only Jewish Republican currently sitting in Congress. So he is going to play an important role in all of Trump's actions in the Middle East, especially regarding Israel. He currently sits on the Committee of Foreign Affairs and on the subcommittees on the Middle East and North Africa, terrorism, non-proliferations and trade. Many of you are thinking, I know, that name does sound familiar. I might know him. Who could forget Congressman Lee Zeldin questioning Secretary of State John Kerry during hearings about the Iran nuclear deal that was televised live and then replayed on multiple media outlets? Zeldin may be young, he's 36 and new, but that hasn't stopped him from taking the lead on bipartisan legislation or getting the word out as a regular contributor on Fox News, particularly on the Judge Dineen show. Zeldin also has taken an active role in bipartisan legislation on environmental issues, including introducing, with now Minority Senator Chuck Schumer, the Fluke Fairness Act. I am lucky to personally know and call Congressman Lee Zeldin my friend. I see why so many from both sides of the aisle and appreciate him. Let me tell you about Lee Zeldin I know. First and foremost, he is a devoted family man. And how he treats his family is how he treats every single taxpayer in hit this country, regardless of whether you are a Republican or a Democrat. Nothing gives Lee more pride than sharing quality family time with his wife and twin daughters. Whether going to a sports event or sharing a hayride on a brisk fall day, no one shares more pride of Lee's accomplishments than his parents. They always knew Lee would be a success at whatever he tried because he always worked with determination, even as a young boy. He told his mother when he was 8 years old he would be the first Jewish president of the United States. And my prediction is that one day he will be taking that oath of office. And that's my prediction in politics 2017. We're going to take a brief commercial and come back with our first guest.
Madison's Constitutional Protection Corporation and Open Rebellion Radio are proud to announce a new show, The Voice of Reason, with your host, Michael Murphy, senior staff writer with Madison's, will air at an internet connection near you each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central. Each week, we will take a look at some of the top issues and stories in the news, and then take a look at specific subjects and events in depth. Always at the forefront will be the Constitution, the Republic, and our responsibilities as we try to help steer the nation back to foundational principles. It is not for us to expect Congress or a president to do our job. George Washington said, "The Constitution of the United States, its only keepers, the people." Likewise, when Ben Franklin was asked what sort of government they had given, he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." Keep is a verb, and a verb requires action. The mission of Madison is to articulate how and why the Constitution is an asset for all. It is never a liability. Please join us each week and become a partner in this effort.
Welcome back. We are having technical difficulties bringing on our first guest, Regina Kravitz. So while we are waiting for her to call in, I want to talk to you about another issue because many, many of you have been following on social media and through my articles some of the comments and opinions of many that I have been following in regards to the issue of Israel, BDS, the appointment of David Freeman as the ambassador to Israel, and my appearing with former Ambassador John Bolton at the United Nations last week. Let me tell you a little bit about what is going on and what we see happening. We see Donald Trump taking very serious steps to bring people to the fold who he has worked with a long time and who know the issues. And I will get back to this after our commercial because here is Regina Kravitz coming on. Regina, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Sydney. I've been listening to you speak
about
Lee Zeldin.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. Regina was my very first guest and was the very first person I thought about when I wanted to discuss predictions on women's issues for 2017 because it's not just for women. It's for anybody who associates with women, who work with women, and who live with women. So, Regina, welcome to the show, and thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties. And please introduce yourself again to my guests and let them know how they can learn more about you and reach out to you.
Well, my name is Regina Kravitz. I am a fashion designer. I've been doing that for many, many years. I keep very busy. I've also been a fitness professional, and I'm a certified personal trainer. And my hobby for many, many, many years, and everyone who knows me knows I'm a total nut on naturopathy and cures. I'm like a witch doctor. So I'm shifting my own designing to be more of a, I will be teaching an online course in the business of fashion and things that pertain to change, you know, to our very current lifestyle and things like that on a platform called GenU Connect. booked, so that'll be a little later into February. So I wanted to talk, Cindy, because it's such an interesting time for all of us. I mean, it's our world is just changing so rapidly, and, you know, it's beyond the election, and we are really on the fourth industrial revolution, and it's beyond that. The technical developments and changes that will really take place in the next even year are just breathtaking and will change our lives. This morning I was watching TV and Mark Zuckerberg was talking about artificial intelligence, and he has a system in his house called Jarvis that runs his entire home, and he does it from a message bot. So if Facebook is, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is doing that now, the rest of us will be on the brink of it maybe in 2 years. So some of the trends I'm going to discuss really have to do with what affects all of our lives, and some are particular fashion predictions, lifestyle, and fitness. So let me just start by saying that our smartphones are going to take over. We won't be texting anymore. It will all be about voice recognition and commands, and our smartphones will really be our total personal, beyond computers and laptops, our personal assistants and our brain center. And PCs and computers will have a whole different function because apps will be taking over, and it's possible for us now to have personal apps. And as voice and words become more involved, things like Siri, Cortana, Google Assistant are going to be amped up. Are you there?
I'm listening to you fully.
You're
I'm
listening.
Letting you go
okay.
with it because you are so detailed and in something that I didn't even expect to discuss with you tonight. You are fascinating
me with
this.
Well, I have some real women things. It's fascinating. So what's really is changing and has changing is the way we shop, the way all of these malls that have been built and how we receive information. So technology's challenge and stores, and there are stores doing it now like Tommy Hilfiger and Burberry, are on the cutting edge of complete consumer involvement and much better customer service. And it's all being done through machine information, through all sorts of apps on the PC. So I mentioned that malls will be changing. This is a big problem because stores have built out, you know, box stores, and every little store had built out chains, and now nobody wants to go to the mall. It's dead. So
it's funny you say that because I find that when I go to the mall, and I go a lot less because I simply don't have the time, but it's really more entertainment for people. People
right.
are not shopping.
Correct.
If they're doing it, they're going, having a coffee, going to the food court, spending a
right.
couple of hours. And they're not buying. And I'm hearing this from a lot of people, and I'm even hearing this as people are preparing for New York Fashion Week in February. So I totally agree with you that this is a trend, but continue on because you probably know more detail than I do.
What's happening with malls is that they have to repurpose themselves into entertainment centers, education centers, fun centers. There has to be a reason to go to the mall besides shopping, and shopping has to be very easy. And designers in Fashion Week and current lines are very challenged to get of-the-moment merchandise in. So that's why somebody like Tommy Hilfiger did that whole carnival on the piers, and a number of designers showed things also via video, not even live shows, of what will you know, go right into the stores. So malls and stores are fooling around with things. You know, we know all about the dressing rooms that talk to us. There'll be mirrors where you could go right up with a purchase or something you're trying on and speak to a blogger who'll be there, you know, to tell you what it looks like. So the repurposing of malls and the way we shop will be huge. The other huge thing is the way we're going to be buying. We have been buying a huge quantity with very little quality. So one of the key trends here is what's called, I have it here, and it's got a particular name. I can't find it, but it's basically buying less, buying more quality, and personalization of clothing. So it's a very challenging time for manufacturers, for small lines, and in general, fashion is changing. So I want to give you, you know, now that I'm talking about macro trends, I want to give you some ideas on actually what fashion trends. So we will see futuristic things. In fashion 2017, there will be a huge continuance of sport-influenced clothing, which they call athleisure wear now, but it will become more accepted clothing in the office, in even cocktail parties, in dressy, and it will have a real athletic bent, and it will be very colorful. The Hunger Games, do you remember the Capitol, the way they looked?
Yes.
So that will be, we will start to look like that. And one of the things that's being forecasted is black, put black in the back. There will be a huge new influence, not that there hasn't been, on spandex. In my opinion, spandex in the 80s changed our lives. Totally, this fiber changed the way we look at ourselves, the way we dress. It built a huge fitness industry. Entire concepts of slimness and beauty are dependent because of spandex and lycra.
Well, it really made the careers of people like Norma Kamali and Donna Karan, if you think about it, in those days.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole legging thing and the whole idea of wearing a legging, which is still the biggest look, a skinny bottom over a bigger top, which is a comfort thing.
Mm-hmm.
But things are going to become less baggy. So even though it'll be casual, the sweatpants have to go. Sneakers and casual shoes, no more 4 and 5 inch heels, and this trend has been happening, will be the newest thing. And not just sneakers. They will have, like, home
the mules are the
biggest little
thing.
Yes,
the
mules.
Like,
is that what you
thing.
Said? Right.
Yes.
Mules are coming back. Anything easy. And, you know, if you think about it, it's a very futuristic look. It's what we see in sci-fi movies. The shoulder has been a huge reference point in the last few years. Everything is cut out shoulder, off the shoulder. So what is being predicted is the shoulder will be covered, but we're going to see huge plunging cutout necklines in the coming, you know, both in gay, but with a covered shoulder. Stripes and artistic patterns are going to be huge. So there's going to be a whole thing towards an arty, colorful, personal, not just the black and white uniforms that have, you know, covered our and been in our fashion the last few years.
I think the trend has started already, like last year, especially with the Italian designers Dolce Gabbana, Gucci, Valentino, and everybody has seen the success in it and the comfort, and you're going to see it more and more from what I agree with you, even more, but even at a lower price range, it might be better quality because not everybody could afford Dolce Gabbana and Valentino and Gucci. So I totally see it because I see it in the trends of stuff we're doing now towards the spring lines.
So clothing will become more, yes, totally, totally, and more futuristic. And, we're going to have a much faster lifestyle. And things are really going to change in our lives. This whole concept, you know, group sharing. It's going to get bigger and bigger. Cars, the whole idea of the driverless car, look what that's going to do to our cities, our parking spaces, our insurance, millions of jobs, but that whole thing is accelerating. Millennials don't care as much about possessions, we've heard this, as they do about experiences. I think you would agree with that, right?
Absolutely. I think everybody would agree. Just look at how they feel towards everything. And I could tell you, as a mother of a millennial, and I hear from all their friends, they really care about being together, being happy, being in groups. They're not so materialistic. They're not so into vacationing as much in a luxury way. They would rather be with groups and have fun, and they work hard, and they feel that they're not going to have what their parents had and what their grandparents built for their parents. So a lot of them look at life very differently. So I totally agree with you.
So it's really a group concept. So because I'm so involved and interested in fitness, the concept of group exercises is going to change. It's not going to be like going to your spinning class and you don't relate, you know, you're just there in a group.
Mm-hmm.
Group exercising, like aerial yoga, balancing, flash dancing, dancing, spinning teams, all sorts of teams will start to take hold in fitness. So it's you and I, so to speak, will not just check into a going. We will have a real reason and a purpose to go to a group thing. It will be dynamic as opposed to what's been just an instructor and self-serving. We will all be wearing incredible wearable technology, a lot of it flashy, a lot of it fashionable. I have some others.
You can go on, because I must tell everybody, Regina has a party, and she really postponed going to a party to be with us, and she is so well prepared. I don't want to interrupt her. I agree with so many of the things she's saying, because I've been doing work on this as well, and actually we met at a fashion event.
We
are like overlapping our thoughts, but it's good just to have it confirmed by somebody who's such an expert in this for so many years knows about it.
I'm also a trend watcher. It's a fascinating world. Some of the changes that some of the things we're going to see, and they're starting now, is that there will be things like, just like a gym, but it will be a meditation club. Just where you pay for a membership, but it will be built out fancy. In fact, the guy who was the chairman of the board of Intermix, which was bought by the Gap, has opened one in Chelsea. And it will have its own food, but it's all about downsizing now, going inward, finding a higher purpose. And, of course, our lifestyle and clothing is going to reflect that. Our homes and everything in that life are going to become simpler, not ornate, very simple. So I have a couple of other trends which I have found fascinating, especially in New York City, where there's all sorts of stores going out. The only things that seem to survive are coffee shops in the neighborhood, nail salons, hair salons, and that will extend to anything you could walk in like a 5-block radius. It will be on the street therapists, romantic coaches. And I have another trend that's really happening, and that is vaginal rejuvenation spas. Now, you may have noticed this, Cindy, and I'm taking a chance saying it to you.
I have. In fact, this has been on reality shows, and this has been featured in many, many of the major magazines and in periodicals. So, yes, I have heard a lot about this. But for those who don't know about it, briefly describe it for them.
Well, you know, there's been all sorts of lasers and all sorts of, I mean, now, you know, people could be very adverse to this. They don't participate in it, and that's fine. And some just, you know, are learning about it. But what that industry, you know, the estheticians and doctors and all, have discovered that there are vaginal lasers, you know, for mommies who have lost it after childbirth or multiple childbirths, slightly older women. The woman who discovered Cindy Barstock, who I think it was called Almost Bare, or she was one of the first laser hair removal salons.
Yes.
And whether it's, I think it's still, she started a whole vaginal rejuvenation
right.
spot.
And for those
so,
who don't know her name, or maybe recognize her name, she was for one season on The Real Housewives of New York.
Yes, she was on
so
The Real Housewives of New York.
Correct.
She was on Cindy Barstock, and I don't know her personally, but I've looked at what she's been involved in. So while this is under the radar now, it is going to be in your city soon. And the biggest change, and this has happened too, with huge influence on LGBT and, you know, people being whatever gender visually that they think they are, this is hugely liberating to women. And it's allowing, there's going to be a huger movement where women are really going to enjoy sex, you know, really start to accept their bodies. There's going to be a huge comfort level happening for women.
Well, that's really great to hear because right now half this country is upset that we did not have a woman president, and other people are upset with everything going on. The women's movement of being the all-great mommy, the breadwinner, being the best friend, having the girls' night out, and sometimes we forget about ourselves, and it sounds from you that we have a lot of good things to look forward to in 2017, especially appreciating ourselves and taking better care of ourselves.
I think
so
that's going to
really
be a big
uplifting thing,
and I think women could sort of expect a new, forgiving, allowed sexual revolution. I think that would be very exciting to hear. That would be a huge change because it's not easy to be a woman, an accomplished woman, a beautiful woman, a confident woman, a kind woman.
No, because if anybody...
You know, I'm not saying it's not easy to be a man, too, but we still are dealing with other issues. We still are.
Correct.
And so much is expected of women from time in the beginning to now. And women feel they have to deliver it all.
Well, that's really a great way to go into 2017 with all these positive thoughts, and you really gave us a lot to think about. From all areas. Tell everybody again where they can find you and learn more about some of the work you do.
Well, I'm revamping my website, which is www.regina.com. Give me a couple of months,
okay.
and I can be reached for any questions or anything at regina@reginakravitz.com. And you can look for me in a few months on GenuConnect. As an expert.
Well, that sounds exciting, and we will share that as soon as you're up and updated. I will gladly share that with my audience because you always come with to us with lots of information, way more information than we can take in 15, 20 minutes. And
That's
we love
correct.
Having you on.
Okay.
And we didn't even touch base on some of the other things we were going to talk about, like the movies that are trending and some of the live events happening that people are interested in. So we're going to have you back in 2017 and update everybody on those events as well because you are just so informative, so entertaining, and just an all-around nice person. And I really have to tell my audience that this is such a special guest that she gave up a party and rearranged all her plans to be here tonight. So, Regina Kravitz, happy holidays, Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. And to your entire audience.
And we will be in touch soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Best wishes, Cindy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was one of our first predictions. And I'm glad to tell you that we have something very special in the in-between predictions. As many of you know, we lost an American hero, John Glenn. And I am lucky enough to be friends with one of the most noted historians and somebody who was a personal friend to Senator John Glenn, Adam Sakowicz. Adam, are you there?
Hi, Cindy. How are you? I'm excited to be on your program.
Adam, because I have to go a little bit off record, I have gotten so many requests from mutual friends of ours about tonight's show with you being a guest. They are so excited. So I know people are listening to us nationally just to hear you and your love of Senator John Glenn. So it's such an honor because I couldn't think, the minute I heard Senator Glenn passed away, the first thing I thought about is, oh my God, Adam Sakowicz must be like so upset. And I'm sure I was not the only person like that, but you really have to share with the audience how you became interested in Senator Glenn, first of all.
Sure. Well, my grandparents were at his ticker tape parade in 1962, and millions of New Yorkers from throughout the state went to Broadway to see Senator Glenn. And in 1998, when I was a second grade student, that's when John Glenn returned back to space. And that really instilled in me something, and that curiosity about space and going beyond, you know, so to speak. And just a remarkable man. He lived such an interesting and a fascinating life. He accomplished so much during his life. And any one of his accomplishments, he would have been remembered as a national hero. But you just add it all up, and it's just remarkable what this man accomplished in 95 years, served the nation during the Second World War, the Korean War, was a test pilot, an original Mercury astronaut, first American to orbit the Earth. Of course, he would do that in February of 1962. He tried politics. In 1964, he had to end a run for the Senate after falling in his home. And then in 1970, he lost the Democratic nomination for the Senate out in Ohio, but finally was elected in 1974 and would serve four terms in the U.S. Senate. He sought the Democratic presidential nomination in 1984 and would return back to space. And something that he felt very strongly about was working with students, and he helped to form a public affairs school in Ohio at Ohio State University, which is now called the Glenn College, the Glenn School of Public Affairs.
Now, I have to tell people, Adam is a Republican, and Adam is a Trump supporter and has been. And Adam actually ran for local school board membership as a Republican. So here he is honoring a Democrat. Can you tell my audience a little bit more about you, Adam? Because you are, for someone young, you are a fascinating leader and individual. So please share with my audience a little bit about your background.
Sure. Born and raised in Nassau County in Westbury and ran for school board. I'm 25 years old. I got 48%. Very proud of the campaign I ran last year against a member of the school board who was there for 13 years. People said, you know, you're going to lose 70-30, but we spent a lot of money. I knocked on 4,000 doors, you know, felt strongly about running and have the heart to serve and love my community. And that's why I ran. And, you know, just because I came up a little short, I'm not discouraged and would love to serve and seek public office again. And in many ways, it's John Glenn who inspired me to seek public office and to become involved in government and politics. And, you know, he was very encouraging to me, and had the great opportunity to have met him on many of an occasion and have spoken in depth to him. And it will be something that I'll always remember for the rest of my life.
Tell us the first time you met John Glenn. Where were you and what was the conversation about?
Sure. I was actually at Ohio State in 2014 and, scheduled to meet with him. And basically, for the last 2 years, I've been advocating for the preservation of space and aviation sites throughout the country. And you know, my efforts got a lot of attention and national attention. My whole interest in space and aviation began when I was a young boy. I live in Westbury, and 5 minutes away from where I live is where Charles Lindbergh began his transatlantic flight in 1927. You know, one of the most important events in American history, in American aviation history, you know, people just don't know about that event. And if you can believe this, the actual site where he began his flight is in the parking lot of the Source Mall, so people don't know it. There's a small marker there. And I was concerned that eventually that site potentially could not be there. We just learned that the Source Mall was going to, that the Source Mall has gone on the auction block and it has the developers. There will be housing going up there, but I successfully selected a town to designate that as a town landmark. So Senator Glenn was impressed with that. And the remarkable thing is that when Charles Lindbergh took off from Long Island, New York, John Glenn was a young boy, and he was in many ways inspired by Charles Lindbergh, and the two would eventually meet. John Glenn was serving in the Pacific during the Second World War, and Lindbergh was out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
you
also
there's
have
that Lindbergh connection as well.
Uh-huh. Now, you also had the pleasure of meeting his widow, Annie. Tell us about that experience.
The remarkable story about John Glenn is it's not just about John Glenn. It's this remarkable relationship between him and his wife. The love that these two people had for each other, I've never seen that before. You know, I'm young. I'm 25, but just the love story of John and Annie Glenn is a remarkable story, and a lot of people know about it now. You know, people have been talking about this, but John Glenn always mentioned that he's never remembered, he never remembered a time that Annie Glenn was not in his life. Their parents were friends, and they were placed together in like a crib, in like a playpen, and from that point on, they were like inseparable. They really wanted to marry at a young age when they were in high school, and they weren't really of marrying age yet. And I think they wanted to go to Kentucky because the marriage laws were lax there. And, of course, their parents were not supportive of that. And one of the parents said that, you know, the marriage wouldn't last. Well, they were proven wrong because they married in 1943, and they were married for 73 remarkable years.
Mm-hmm. And
also, Annie Glenn, in her own right, is a remarkable figure in what she accomplished. You know, it's well known that for many years she suffered from a debilitating communicative disorder. And she's an inspiration for Americans who stutter and suffer from communicative disorders. And she overcame that stutter. And she took speech therapy at a school in Virginia called Hollins College. And had the great privilege of meeting with Annie as well. And the warmness, the kindness, she always would embrace me, gave me a nice bear hug, and just one of the sweetest and kindest women out there that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. And, you know, John Glenn, Annie Glenn, you know, these people, national celebrities known throughout the country. I nicknamed them the Kennedys of Ohio. Just Joe Biden at the memorial service, he had a great line. His line was, John Glenn came out of the heart of the country and stole America's heart. But John Glenn, you know, he dined with kings, he dined with presidents, but he always had a caring and understanding for the Ohio farmer or the young student like myself. And John Glenn never forgot where he was born. He grew up in rural eastern Ohio, Appalachia. His dad was a plumber, and he always stayed very humble. And I think that's also something that I love about John Glenn as well.
Well, let me just tell my audience, in case they haven't seen, you have been all over the press the past week or two. Tell us a little some of the places that you have been discussing John Glenn as an expert on his life.
Well, I've been on a lot of talk radio shows, but this is the one that I'm most excited about, Cindy.
Oh, I'm so honored, because I know you've been on some big places.
Well,
thank you.
Fox News, ABC, they've picked up the story. I was on News 12. I've been advocating for, as I mentioned, for preserving space and aviation sites throughout the country. And as a graduate student now at St. John's, I wrote up a nomination nominating his birthplace home in Cambridge, Ohio, to be on the National Register of Historic Places. So that's something I'm very proud of. And we're working on getting some statues in Ohio for John Glenn, and really trying to honor him. And, you know, he made a difference in my life. He made a difference in the lives of millions of Americans. And, you know, I think this is a time really to honor him. You know, it was very sad to lose him. You know, for the last few years, he wasn't in the best health. For years, he suffered from macular degeneration. His eyesight was very poor. He had a mini stroke. He had a heart valve replacement. But it was a little surprising that we lost him this soon. So it was upsetting. But, you know, now we're at a time where we're celebrating his life and what a life he lived. You know, it's one thing to have all the accomplishments. It's another thing to have the remarkable marriage and the love that he had in his life, and to live to that age of 95, to have all those three things. That's really, truly a blessing. And just what a life. And, you know, John Glenn is going to be remembered like Columbus, like Francis Drake, like Magellan. You know, he really was the explorer of our generation. He really defined an era of our country. He made Americans believe in themselves again. In the early 1960s, the United States was way behind the Soviet Union in the space race. Many people said that the United States could not compete with the Soviet Union. And it was John Glenn in his orbit in 1962 that proved them wrong. If it was not for John Glenn, we wouldn't have had Neil Armstrong, who landed on the moon. So what John Glenn did for this country was tremendous, and he brought the country together. John Glenn was a figure that united people.
In a time where we have such antagonism from left and right, and progressive and conservative and pro-Trump and anti-Trump and recounts, John Glenn represents bipartisan working, and I'm sure you could tell that a little bit to our audience as well, and that people should look at his life, because so many Republicans, so many Democrats respected John Glenn as a person if they did not agree with all of his politics. And
absolutely,
I think that is really a timely message, and maybe you could elaborate on that a little more.
Sure. So politically speaking, you know, I classify John Glenn as a centrist, moderate, even a conservative Democrat. He was greatly influenced by the Great Depression, and he did believe that government had a role to play. His parents were Democrats. He grew up in a Democratic household, and you know, before he became nationally prominent, I would say he was more apolitical, although he had a teacher in high school named Harford Steele that really influenced him and encouraged him to become involved in politics. And they say that John Glenn actually voted for Richard Nixon over John F. Kennedy for president in 1960, was like an independent. And then he befriended John F. Kennedy and brother Robert F. Kennedy, and encouraged him to become a Democrat and to become involved in Ohio politics. And they supported him in his run for the United States Senate in 1964. But John Glenn always put the country first. In many ways, he wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. You know, he was an American. Something he felt very strongly in was advocating for nuclear non-proliferation. He did not want to see the spread of nuclear weapons. He flew hundreds of combat missions during World War II and the Korean War. He lost one of his closest friends, Monty Goodman, during the Second World War. There's a wonderful diary that he wrote where you could read all about his exploits and bravery and heroism during World War II. He also mentioned the use of firebombing in the Pacific. And, you know, these were things that really affected and impacted him for the rest of his life. And I think one of John Glenn's greatest achievements is of peacemaker and trying to spread peace in the world, because he saw war firsthand and he saw that war making becomes personal. That was a quote.
Well, Adam Sakowicz, thank you so much for sharing with my audience your remembrance, your tribute to John Glenn. And like I told everybody, you are a young millennial on the go, working. I'm even as a Republican, you're working with people like Congresswoman Grace Meng to bring about making the John Glenn birthplace a national landmark. And we are very thankful that you brought us so much important information. So happy holidays, happy new year, and we'll see you in 2017.
Cindy, thanks so much for having me. It was a great pleasure, and all the best to you and your family, your listeners, and happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and an amazing new year. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back
Bye-bye.
After this message. Bye-bye.
Madison's Constitutional Protection Corporation and Open Rebellion Radio are proud to announce a new show, The Voice of Reason, with your host, Michael Murphy, senior staff writer with Madison's, will air at an internet connection near you each Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central. Each week, we will take a look at some of the top issues and stories in the news, and then take a look at specific subjects and events in depth. Always at the forefront will be the Constitution, the Republic, and our responsibilities as we try to help steer the nation back to foundational principles. It is not for us to expect Congress or a president to do our job. George Washington said, "The Constitution of the United States, its only keepers, the people." Likewise, when Ben Franklin was asked what sort of government they had given, he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." Keep is a verb, and a verb requires action. The mission of Madison is to articulate how and why the Constitution is an asset for all. It is never a liability. Please join us each week and become a partner in this effort.
Welcome back. Back to predictions with Wendy Packer of Fashion Over 50. Hello,
Hi,
Wendy.
Cindy. Hi, Cindy. Can you hear
Thank
me?
Thank you for holding. Thank
oh,
you
my
for
pleasure.
Holding. We saved you for last because we know you have so much to share. And,
oh, thank you.
It is such a pleasure to have you on, because Wendy has one of the most successful blogs for the modern woman of over 50 who works, who's a mother, a grandmother, who has friends and a social life. And so welcome to the show, Wendy Packer.
Thank you so much, Cindy. It's my pleasure. What can I tell you?
Tell my audience a little bit about Fashion Over 50 and what you discuss on your website.
Okay, well, the foundation of my website was based upon kind of a vision that I have of in society of shifting the paradigm away from youth. You know, we're so youth obsessed, and everyone's trying so hard to fight aging. And I do some shamanic work too. And so, in the shamanic work that I do, which is about energy and envisioning the world at peace and harmony, a lot like what Regina was talking about earlier, is about helping people embrace their age and feel beautiful no matter what age you are, and that there is intrinsic beauty in all of us no matter what their age, no matter what your age is. And so going along with that. What?
Uh-huh. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish your saying, because I'm going to tell you something afterwards you're going to get a cute laugh at as well as my audience. But finish your sentence.
Okay. Well, anyway, well, going along with that is how women over 50 feel invisible, and how we're trying to counter that. And one thing that Fashion Over 50 is I produce fashion shows where we get models who are over 50, and we do like a 1-week makeover, and then the finale for them is the fashion show. And it's just a remarkable thing to see how poor women's self-esteem is after the age of 50. I mean, it might be even if we did it with 30-year-olds, but it's really remarkable, and it's sad. It's really sad, and that's my goal, is to try and change the whole country, the whole world. So it's just a little goal I have.
Well, you certainly do well, because one of the advertisements for the radio show with your very glamorous picture, one of the listeners actually wrote something and was very impressed with your look. So whatever you're doing, the Fashion Over 50, it's working, because they tell me they're listening just because of your picture.
Wow, well, thank you.
So,
I have to say, it's an old picture, though. It's about 3 years old. So, but thank you. Thank you so much.
What I like about your approach also is a real woman's approach. It goes through the, you know, budgets. It goes through different lifestyle trends of what to wear and do. And it relates to a woman in the city or in a country, in hot weather, cold weather, in multiple professions. So tell us a little bit about what you see are a couple of trends that are coming up for 2017 for women over 50.
Okay, well, I've gone to a bunch of, there's a Fashion Group International, which I'm a member of, and we go, each season we go through the fashions and we see what the trends are. And for the trends of 2017 spring summer, it's really a big mishmash. Every length skirt is in. Every length pant is in, from short shorts to pants that actually look like they're dragging along the floor. So for women over 50, it's a very fortunate time. It's not going to be just mini skirts or short shorts. They have a lot of options this summer, including the midi skirt and the maxi dress. The bohemian chic look is also very big. The big floral patterns. Flowers are going to be really big this summer and spring, and they're actually big this winter as well. And who doesn't love flowers, right? So it's going to be, it's a really going to be a fun summer, spring season. However, I mean, and going along with Regina, it's all about easy elegance, like she was saying. It's things are going to start to become easier and more comfortable, and we're going to be start sharing more. And so it's about this, the designers have still have used a lot of elegant fabrics coming up this summer. They're going to be using satins and charmeuse and peau de soie and really lovely fabrics, and they're going to be mixing them with cottons and things like that. So it's got a very feminine feel to it, which I personally love. And I think a lot of women really resonate with that right now, just because I think street style is kind of unisex almost. And so I think women are excited to embrace that part, at least my readership, which I have on Facebook, which is 165,000 women. I get a lot of feedback there, and a lot of women still love the feminine look. You know, they love to feel feminine. So,
I think you're right, and I also see a lot less black, but really bright colors mixed in, and patterns, like you said, and loads of flowers with really feminine colors, the various pinks and the blushes together with blues and stuff. So it's not just going to be like a black-white kind of a look. It's a very feminine look, and even I find very feminine accessories with it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's you know, you have the whole gamut. You also have stripes that are going to be really big. But I think Regina mentioned it's all about artistic patterns as well. So the stripes come in vertical, which is usually better for women over 50, or really most women who might, you know, be carrying a little, you know, be a little more curvy. But the stripes are diagonal, the stripes are horizontal, and you'll also be finding a lot of waists that are folding over, which is good for also women over 50, because that's the area where they usually carry, you know, we start to develop our weight after menopause. And so those folded waists are a really good kind of disguise where you can't really see what's underneath there. And so it's a very fashionable way to look good and cover up a problem area at the same time.
What accessories do you see are really big with women over 50?
What accessories did you say?
Yes.
The accessories?
Accessories. 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 Yes.
Okay, sorry, I couldn't hear. I think it's becoming very sparse. I think if you look on the red carpet and you see the women, the celebrities on the red carpet today, you do not see a lot of jewelry. You know, you're not seeing the Fred Laytons and the people, draped in diamonds, and it's very sparse. People wear like one bracelet and maybe a pair of earrings. And I think that accessories are not essential. I think for, like, if you're going to be doing a bohemian chic look, you're going to want to do the bohemian chic accessories. And I think women over 50 still love all that turquoise and all the, the Indian flavored, the cultural, all the multicultural pieces of jewelry. Those are also actually multicultural is also going to be a very big theme in the spring in terms of fabrics and patterns. So I don't think accessories are really that big. I think that women, as far as shoes, every woman still loves shoes, but I think that also they run the gamut from being like a 4-inch platform to the kitten heel to, as Regina was saying, even mules. With no heels. If you've seen that Gucci mule with the fur lining,
that's right.
Yeah. So it really does run the gamut.
And everybody's copying in some way, shape, or form. Every designer is copying that one way, with their own tie to it. Whether or not it's Yves Saint Laurent came out with one, Kate Spade has one. So they're coming out in all different price ranges, and people are looking for comfort because they are. They just can't. They're killing their feet. People have sciatica and running around and all kinds of injuries. So they are looking to alternatives to the big heels. I do agree with you. There are. I do predict the biggest accessory you're going to see on the red carpet starting, I guess, with the Golden Globes in January. You're right. I don't think it's going to be a lot of jewelry. I think the biggest thing is the mini Adier. Is it going to be Edie Parker or Judith Lieber? I mean, I think that's going to be the biggest accessory because the dresses are so feminine and layered and ornate and so much texture to them. I think they're becoming the stars of the shows.
Exactly. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. And it's nice. It's really nice to see that. It's becoming more about, I think it's a lot more stylish in some ways rather than just an old formula. It's kind of like old Hollywood formula with the dangling earrings and the long necklace. I think it's more about individual style, and so it's nice. It gives people such great options. So that I mean, if you look at like Tilda Swinton, she's over 50, and she was just elected into the International Hall of Fame for women. For best dressed females in 2016. And if you look at her, she is like kind of the epitome of doing her own thing and minimalism, where she wears very, very little jewelry, if any jewelry at all. And her statement is all about the dress and her hair. And so she is, she's really someone that I think that designers are looking to as far as, the future in terms of kind of combining street style in a way and still keeping style and fashion. Although, it runs the gamut too, but it's just interesting that Tilda Swinton was the one who is from the United States who made it into that international contest. So, and she won.
See, and everybody thinks it's just Gigi Hadid and Kendall Jenner. He is somebody totally different. So you told my readers that you have over 100,000 followers, which is quite amazing that you started this and
being there is so much competition that you have so many. What are some of the most requested, like questions you get, or some of the most interests that you get on your blog that people like to follow?
Well, I think what I did was I created it at a time when my kids had gone off to college and my parents had both passed away all within the same year. And I was and I really created a community where we talk to each other and we support each other. And I think that's the thing that is really draws people to my page. I have about 170,000 followers, I think, recently. And so it's about women sharing and sharing their ideas. And it's not really about, you know, and you do find people who are very negative and very and can be very bitter and hateful. And it's and my readers get all over them, you know, and it's just they're like, you need to be nicer, and why can't you be nice? And so it's a very supportive community, really, more than anything else. And so it's really about accepting everyone and whatever their style may be. But most of the questions are, you know, about, like, how short should your skirt be when you're over 50? Should you wear, you know, should you go without nylons? A lot of women over 50 are still used to wearing hose. And, you know, people in the South, though, the women are glad to get rid of the hose because it's so, so hot there. But, you know, I think that hosiery is coming back, and women are very happy about that. And it's just, it's about women doing not necessarily what the trends are, but what feels good to them and what makes them feel good. And that's kind of what it should be about. It's about embracing who you are rather than trying to fight aging, you know, rather than to go and try keep wearing the mini skirt or keep plumping up your lips or, you know, like the housewives of wherever, Beverly Hills or Orange County or wherever, or New York. My page is a lot more wholesome. It's just, it's not about that at all. It's about really just being, trying to embrace
real
who
people.
You are. Sorry?
Real people.
Real people,
real
absolutely.
Issues. So do you also give advice, let's say, on hairstyle for people over 50?
On hairstyle?
Uh-huh. Do people ask about that also?
Yeah, about hairstyles? You know, I think, let me think about that. You know, I think, well, what's the really, the big trend is people going gray. That's the hottest topic today, is that women are really choosing to go natural. And I will tell you, the women that I've seen who've gone gray or silver or they're you know, pepper, salt and pepper, they are so stunning. If they wear a white or black or gray, anything, if they stand out, literally, they stand out like a star. It's just such a chic look. And so you have some women who are embracing it just, you know, just like, oh, I'm so thrilled I don't have to do color anymore. And there are other women who are fighting it, you know, saying, I can't give up. I feel like I'm going to look older and my husband doesn't like it. And I feel like people are going to start thinking I'm old. And so you've got kind of like a split right now. And so I do a lot of support with that. I do a lot of support in helping the women embrace going natural, if that's what they want to do. And there are a lot of beautiful models right now out there who have gone gray and who are just exquisite. And so they have become great role models for women to take that plunge, you know.
And what about makeup tips? What are anything for the women over 50 that's a trend for 2017?
Makeup, I think, is going to be more natural. It's been going that way for quite a while. Some women you find are just giving up, you know, which we try to encourage them. Don't give up, you know, just because you're over 50 or over 60, you know, you still can do things to make yourself look pretty in the morning. And I think when you start to give up on makeup is it's kind of sad because it's kind of like you're giving up on yourself, which you really should not do. I mean, today we can live to be 100 years old. So, if someone at 55 decides to stop wearing makeup, that's 45 years that they're going to be, you know, not looking their best, really. I mean, so makeup generally is about more being more natural. It's not about, you know, heavy pancake makeup or like, you know, like Zsa Zsa Gabor, who just passed away. It's a lot about more, and I think it's also a lot about more organic products, too. I think women are looking at the contents of products and not wanting, you know, chemicals and things like that, because they're realizing that that affects their health as well. So I think people are a lot more health conscious today, and it's going that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please share with my audience again where they could find you. Your tips are fascinating and very reachable and very obtainable for my international following. So please share with them the information where they can reach out to you.
Oh, well, they can reach out to me. My blog is literally Fashion Over 50, and it's, you spell out the F-I-F-T-Y rather than 5-O, fashionover50.com. And that's my website. And then from there, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media. And if you just want to go to Facebook and join our community, which is really fun, it's supportive. We crack jokes. A lot of people have met through the group and have become friends. And the models all now contribute. A lot of the models write in and share their photos with us. So that is really fun because it's interactive, and I think that's what you know, women really like about the page, how interactive it is. I'll get 2,000 comments to one post, and that, you know, that would take me like a day and a half probably to answer each one. So I try to answer as many as I can, and you know, and people then develop conversations within it. So it's very interactive. It's very fun. Fashion Over 50 on Facebook, F-I-F-T-Y. And from there, you'll get the link to my website. But I think that's really, if you're looking for something that's fun, that gives you advice, that gives you support, I'm really there to support you, to embrace who you are, and to embrace, you know, that this could be your second act, this could be your third act, this could be your fourth career. But it's never too late. You know, I post stories of people in their 80s and 90s who are breaking records and swimming and biking and all kinds of things. So it's really an inspirational page that I think if anyone's feeling down about getting older, I hope you'll tune into my page, because that's what I try to do, is I try to lift everybody up. And this is actually This is my fourth career, actually. I was a nurse. I was a lawyer. I used to design jewelry. And so now this is my fourth act. So, you know, it's like you never know.
And don't give up yet. Don't give up. Right.
Yeah, no, and never. Never give up. Never die.
Well, this is a perfect way to really end the show tonight with the prediction of being your best, living like a cat with multiple lives, and going to a great page like Fashion Over 50 to meet people just like yourselves who are looking for all kinds of inspiration, tips, ideas of how to dress, and just a smile. So this is a great way to end 2016 and to bring in 2017. Wendy Packer of Fashion Over 50, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and we'll have you on again in 2017.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. I've enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.
Okie doke.
Well, folks, another radio show is about to end. But as I was telling you before our first guest came on, I have had a lot of press coverage over the past couple of weeks in various media outlets regarding everything going on with the Trump transition, with the Israel activism, with the BDS movement, with what's going on at the United Nations. You can follow me on Facebook, Cindy Gross, or Cindy's Corners, Instagram, Cindy's Corners Radio Show, Twitter, and For a last-minute stocking stuffer, you can get my bestseller, Rubber Room Romance, available on Amazon.com or through Madison Media. And again, thank you for supporting this show, for listening, for enjoying and getting tips about resolutions for 2017. And we will see you next week with a special tribute to Ronald Reagan in our last show of 2016. This is your warrior, Cindy Gross, the host of Cindy's Corners Radio Show, wishing you all a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and we will see you next week before the new year. Thank you.